Blog Talk Radio.
This is Louis Martinet, and I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl, age 8 I got a Jerry curl, 13 and I got a relaxer, I was a source of so much laughter, 15 when it all broke off, 18 and I went all natural, February 2002 I went on and did what I had to do, because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone, I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that hey, I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am not your expectations, no, no. I am not my hair, I am not this skin, I am the soul that lives within.
What did you do to her hair?
I don't know, it looks crazy. I like it.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
I am not my hair.
Your expectations, no.
I am not my hair.
I am not the skin.
I am the soul that lives within.
Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh. Does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I am expressing my creativity. Breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised God if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. On national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bald headed like a full moon shining, singing out to the whole wide world like, hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey.
I am not my hair. I am not this skin.
I am not your expectations.
No.
got. If I wanna wear it braided all down my back, I don't see nothing wrong with that.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music. You know him well. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. Good morning.
Hey,
good
you.
Morning.
Hey,
yeah.
How are you? How's it going?
Well, I'm doing great. It is awesome to have you on the show. We
My
finally got
here.
You here. Yes. Awesome. Well, listen, this music, your music, has touched so many folks. I'm raising my hand right now, folks out there. It has. It really has. It resonates with everybody. You've been, you know, you really put the time in, and you've had a remarkable career. So we're going to get into all of that. I'm going to find out what you're doing now. We want to know everything, Mr. Tony Terry.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give you the unsung version.
There you go. And by the way, I've heard some of that, and I've watched a lot of this and done my little research and all that stuff, so we're ready. The
okay,
first
great.
Thing that that really jumps out at me, of course everybody knows, you know, just one of your biggest hits, of course, was that amazing song With You.
Mm-hmm.
And but before we get there, I want to talk about the first album.
Okay.
Because
okay.
you had some hits on there.
I did. You know, it was really interesting, my journey to even putting out a first album, because I was, let me give you the succinct version as tightly as I possibly can of
okay.
what happened. So I had been in New York for a couple of years, and I had auditioned for the off-Broadway show Mom, I Wanna Sing a few times and had gotten turned away. And the last time that I went, that I didn't want to go and didn't care if I was in the show at all at that point, of course, I made it.
Wow. And you were probably in the version I saw, too.
Yeah.
I saw it one time.
Yeah. I was in with Deatra Hicks was playing.
Yes.
I was probably there. And,
wow.
And so I did that for a few years, and I was about to just kind of, you know, just go home, actually, back to D.C., And I had decided that enough, you know, it wasn't really going the way that I wanted it to. And I was going to go back to D.C. And so maybe a day or two before I was supposed to leave, one of my buddies was like, we're going to see this band. And he took me to the Danceteria, which I don't think is open in New York anymore. And there was the place was packed. And there was this band playing, and they were good. And, you know, I'm young and, you know, cocky probably. And I told him after the set, and he came to ask me, you know, what I thought of his band. And I told him I thought they were great, except they were missing something. And that something was me. And so he was like, okay, here's your time to shine. So I started singing maybe a Luther Vandross song or something in this packed basement of this club. And this gentleman turned around, who I had never met before, but it turns out he was Ted Currier. And Ted's claim to fame was Atomic Dog that he had produced and, you know, a whole George Clinton stuff. And he was one of the first DJs, if not the first DJs, to do live dance mixes in New York at 92 KTU.
Of course, KTU.
Yeah, back in the day. And but I didn't know all of that at this time. And so he gave me his card and asked me to give him a call. And I held on to his card. I didn't go back to D.C. I held on to his card maybe a week or so. And I called him late at night. I just, you know, figured that he was a musician like me and he was probably going to be working. And so I called him, and he was excited to hear from me. Like, what took so long for me to call him? And he invited me to come over to a session he was working on. And I was in East Orange at the time. So I had to catch the bus to the path to the subway to 42nd Street, and then walk up.
See, and I understand that, and most of the folks in New York, New Jersey area, we know what you mean, and especially if you're in Jersey.
Right. It was a bit of a journey.
Okay,
so I finally get there, and I walk into the studio, and Ted has Parliament Funkadelic in there working.
Wow.
And I'm starstruck, mesmerized. You know, I hadn't seen anything like that before. I was a huge fan, I still am, of their work. A huge fan of their work. And but let me say this. I understood what funk music really came from. And I'm just going to leave it there.
All right. I kind of got that. Okay.
I met one of my boys there who actually, his name was Daryl Moe. Daryl Moe was a young musician at the time who was in the very first show that brought me from D.C. to the area, to New Brunswick, actually, Crossroads Theater, where we were doing Black Nativity. And after about 4 weeks in of rehearsal, this young man in the band came up to me and said, I don't know about these other cats, but you are a star. And I never thought about that before. I never even considered, you know, I was a part of this crew that had came up to New Jersey from D.C., you know, in pursuit of our careers, in pursuit of our dreams. And, but to think that I was a star, I mean, I was in the ensemble, you know, to be picked out by anybody probably at that age and recognize that, you know, something as big as being considered a star would be like, wow.
So huge.
Yeah, and something I had not even considered, even though I had been pursuing this thing of being an entertainer for a long time. Didn't never really think be a star, just wanted to work.
Wow.
And so after the show was over, I started working with him, and we wrote my very first demo. It was called Don't Hold Back. And for he and I, and he shopped it to Ted Currier. I played it for Ted Currier. Ted thought it was a great record, and then that started it. So I came down to the studio, and he had Parliament in there, and he said, Daryl said, Ted, if you put my boy in the booth, you'll fire all them jokers. You know, it's like typical New Yorkerican kind of energy.
Yeah.
And so Ted was like, really? Well, let's see. And I'm thinking, really? Seriously, Daryl? And so he puts me in the booth, sure enough. And I was ready, and he did fire Parliament. And I did end up doing that project for the Boogie Boys on Capitol Records called Survival of the Freshest. And it was actually the first R&B album, I mean the first rap record that incorporated R&B hooks. It started that whole thing. And
that's amazing.
Why? Yeah. I mean, at the time, I didn't realize it was so amazing.
I didn't. Wow.
And so while I was recording, Ted's wife says, Tony, she spoke a lot like Michelet. Tony.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Really little mouthy voice.
Yeah, no more lies. Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, we know her well.
You know, really small voice, and she asked me to come in and sing for this group of people that were in one of the rooms. And I didn't think to be nervous. I was already in there recording. I didn't know who they were, so I didn't have a problem walking into the room and singing, you know, a song for them. And so I did, and it turns out that those people were management at Capitol Records, and they offered me a deal right away. Seven albums.
Holy cow. That's unheard of. That's astounding.
I know.
It kind of was unheard of then. Seven.
It was unheard of then. And,
absolutely.
Which, again, I wasn't, I didn't know that I was auditioning. So I wasn't nervous. I wasn't anxious. I was warmed up. I was ready for this. And that's what happened. And so the gentleman who would be responsible for me in terms of A&R was fired soon after I was signed. And their intention was for me to delve into Nat King Cole's catalog and record and, you know, restructure or find some of these classics. And I was 19, 20, so I didn't
because he was the main Capitol big-time artist.
But
wasn't
I was
he?
Ignorant
yeah,
to
that.
He built Capitol Records.
Right, exactly.
And I was ignorant to that fact at that time.
Wow.
And I was just not interested in recording Nat King Cole's catalog. Now, in retrospect, I think that probably would have been a good idea to consider. I don't know what it would have been, but, you know, at least to give it a shot. But I wasn't really – I didn't think that I had enough – you know, I was like, Nat King Cole, come on. I was 19. So if you can imagine, I just was not in the Nat King Cole frame of mind.
Well, listen, it took Natalie a while herself to record Nat King Cole, to tackle Nat King Cole's music, so I can understand that.
But now, you know, I can hear it. Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you. I can hear it.
Wow.
But then I couldn't. And so the guy was fired, and he was rehired at Epic. His name was Don Grierson, and he convinced Epic to buy my contract from Capitol before I sang a note.
That is amazing.
It's like, wow, so all this money, all these, you know, is it really that much money? Did they really pay that much money to buy me from them in terms of my contract? Because when you say buy me, it kind of sounds a little weird. But
no, we
contract,
get it.
Buy my contract, so... When I was moved over to Epic, I was there with Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Tina Marie.
Wasn't that Sony, or didn't it become Sony,
it was Sony Epic, and they also had Columbia at the time. They had Mariah Carey on the other side on the Columbia side.
Oh, my God.
So it was like,
amazing.
This guy, they have signed me, and then once they had me over there, they didn't know what to do. Like, well, okay, we got him now. Now what? And it turns out that the head of the A&R department at Epic was Johnny Gill's godfather. And all he talked about was Johnny Gill all day, every day. And so it was clear that I was not going to get his full attention.
You weren't
going to
be, right. Yeah.
And then we put out She's Fly, and it caught everybody by surprise. No one expected it. And there was like, okay, we see something, but not sure what yet. And then it was Lovey Dovey, and
She's Fly was a huge, like you said, a huge, huge top 10 hit.
It was, and but they still weren't convinced. The label wasn't convinced, and somebody's calling me. I should have had my phone on Do Not Disturb. I'll call them back. I will ignore them.
That's okay.
Anyway,
that's all
anyway,
right.
So it just went on, you know. So we had three singles off of the first album. She's Fly, Lovey Dovey, actually four, and Forever Yours, which was the title cut.
Yes.
And then we had, I believe, Young Love was on that first album as well.
And Lovey Dovey charted even higher than
it did.
She's Fly, so that's amazing.
It did. Okay, so now it's time for the second album. And And the first.
But were you nervous though? Because everybody always says about the sophomore thing, or what is it, the sophomore slump thing, and this and that.
You know when they say ignorance, ignorance is bliss. I didn't know anything about all of that. I did know it as it related to theater, because usually opening night is the adrenaline.
I never knew that it related to theater. That's amazing.
Because usually the night after opening night is they call it after opening night blues. Because the second night is usually not nearly as good as the opening night.
Wow.
And then it picks
Thank
up.
You
the
Thank you, Thank you. Oh, you really have. And I appreciate that. Yeah. I'll tell you why later.
Yeah. It's time to choose the first single from the second album, which was self-titled, was Head Over Heels. And it was time to choose the second single, and I had chosen With You. And the label didn't agree. They called me in for a meeting.
I can't believe they didn't agree. But
they did not
agree.
I mean, they were, I wouldn't say forceful, but you know, they stood where they stood. They didn't think it was a good idea. And I just wouldn't let it go. I was like, nope. I think it should be With You. And they couldn't. And in fact, I remember clearly hearing the president at the time of the label say, "Tone, only Stevie Wonder could get away with a song like this." I was like, "Yeah, okay, well, let's just see." And so they put it out. But I think that in an effort to teach me a lesson, they put out With You, with you know, back in the day there was a whole setup. You know, there was a rollout for a single or an artist. You know, the whole setup thing, which did not happen for With You, and it was also
like the promotion that goes along with it when the record is released.
Didn't happen. And your promotion, your marketing team that actually services radio, which happens on usually one day a week, and if you can imagine back in the day, there were 40 or so major labels. So you have 40 reps from those labels going to, let's say, WBLS, and they probably have only 5 slots for new singles this week. But you got 40 people vying for those 5 slots. Okay. So my record was serviced to radio with no information on it.
It was a
blank label, which to me would have made it stand out even more, because you're getting a plain label, unmarked vinyl 12-inch single from Epic Records. What could that be? And you don't put anything on
it. It might have worked in favor.
I believe it did, because then With You started to live. It started without any support from them. There was not going to be a video. There was none of that. And then one day I happened to walk into my manager's office, and the phone was ringing, and maybe our receptionist had gone to the bathroom or something. I don't know. She wasn't there. And I answered the phone, and it was Anita Baker. She was looking for me. And I didn't
Superstar
know Anita Baker.
Anita Baker was calling herself.
Herself. She was like, "This is Anita Baker, and I'm looking for Tony Terry." And I'm thinking, get out. First of all, just couldn't possibly be Anita Baker.
Had you guys worked together or anything?
I did not know her.
Wow.
Had never met her before. Had never even had a conversation with her before that moment.
Wow.
And I was a fan of hers, but, you know,
of course,
didn't know her.
Yeah.
So she called, and I honestly did not believe that I was speaking to Anita Baker. But I went along with it. Okay.
Right.
But it would have made sense, because she was calling my office, and actually our receptionist would have taken the call, and then it probably would have gone to my managers, and then maybe gotten
to it would have gone to
point.
A few folks, right?
Yeah. But I got the call. And then she was like, "Tony, this is Tony." I was like, "Yeah, this is Tony." And she said, I was awakened last night by one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. And I had done The Party Machine, which used to come on after the Arsenio Hall show.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. And she said, "What is going on?" And I was like, "Well, first of all, thank you for, you know, calling." I still wasn't sure, convinced that I was talking to Anita Baker, but I went on to tell her that, mm-hmm. I appreciated the phone call and, thank you for, enjoying the music, and there was not going to be a video because the label didn't think it was a hit. And she was like, what? Those people wouldn't know a hit if it hit them in the forehead. And she made another comment. I don't know if I should repeat it, but I'm going to say it because she said, I'm on the label with Keith Washington, and Keith could not shine your shoes.
If you're out there listening, Keith, we still love you.
Keith, he's one of my boys. And I thought, wow.
Absolutely.
I don't understand. And so, listen, Tony, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you $50,000. And I want you to shoot the video. I need to see a video. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What am I supposed to, how do I pay you back? How do we do this? She's like, don't even worry about it. Just blow up. Just be the star that you are. Just be the star that you are. And, and then the check came certified for $50,000. And she said she was going to call Blair Underwood because she wanted him to direct. Turns out With You was his directorial debut. And he was in it. And it was, if you've seen the video, it's because.
Seen it? We've worn it out.
Because, I call her my guardian angel because, and what's really interesting? Because moving forward 20, 25 years, the Monique Show, which was being recorded here in Atlanta at the WB, I think it was. And I had been on as a guest and performed, and we had heard that Anita Baker was coming, and my mother-in-law is and was a huge fan, and of course so are we. So I contacted the show and told them I wanted to come back and be in the audience when she came, and they put us on the front row. And so she comes out and she sings her song, and she's all into it. She got her eyes closed, and just at the end of the song, she sings, "Sweet love, don't you ever go away." And she opens her eyes, and we make eye contact, and she sees me, and I can see her recognize me. I saw that in her in her expression. And then they cut to commercial, and she calls Monique over, and they clearly are having a conversation that I would think was about me because they were looking at me. And so it comes back from the commercial break, and Monique says, during the commercial break, Miss Baker told me this story about, giving this brother here, this young man, Tony Terry, and she introduced me, $50,000 to shoot the video for With You. And then she asked Miss Baker, "Why did you do that?" And she said, "I was being obedient to the spirit. I was compelled to do it." And I thought, wow.
I'm speechless. That's amazing.
I thought, wow. To hear the spirit speak to you, and then you move because you felt like you didn't have a choice, you had to do it, or that you would be disobeying whatever it was. She felt compelled to do so, and I was really moved by it. She never wanted anything back. She just wanted to honor what she was led to do. It was on her spirit to do so, and she did it. And I just thought that was really a powerful thing. And then, of course,
that was amazing. That's huge.
And then when With You began to live, and the video was out, and started moving up the charts, and then of course the label was like, "Oh yeah, we knew this was a brilliant artist from the very beginning," And then I'm looking at them like, "I know you didn't just say
that." Is funny.
And it was then that I learned, or quickly, about the politics, because at that point, even though they had zero interest in the record, I had to let them claim, the responsibility.
Oh, sure.
Its success, because, if I didn't, if I had made a big stink about it, then, it's politics. And it's an ego-driven business. And, all right, y'all did it. I'm so glad I'm signed with Epic. Two thumbs up.
Well, That song, I'm just still blown away by the fact that they could not detect that. What? How can you be an A&R or this or that and or whatever it was, a music, executive, and without, just not having that little certain something? I mean, I don't understand that.
It didn't fit the song structure of the day.
Of what they had.
It was different. And, the chorus didn't repeat the way choruses typically do on R&B records.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily, while I was singing my face off, or at least I thought I was, it wasn't in a traditional R&B kind of way.
It wasn't formulaic, which is,
right.
To them,
right.
I got it. Wow.
I thought it was, just not a good move to do. And then it turned out to be like it overshadowed
an amazing
everything.
Song. Which has stood the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, people. When I sing songs like, "Lovey Dovey" or "or She's Fly" or "Head Over Heels," people are like, "Oh, I forgot he sang that song."
Exactly.
But
once you hear it, exactly.
Right. "With You" came in and just took over. And then all of a sudden, I was this balladeer. I'm a crooner.
That song, I could play it like literally a good 3 times in a row. I mean, I just love it so much. And just like all of our, our listeners out there, this is something that's really huge. And, I was watching, I think you did a piece with someone, and it just hit me because these songs really, when people say, and I know, we get a chance to have a lot of wonderful artists like yourself to come on the show, but when we say that our lives are really shaped by your music, we really need it.
That's
really the truth.
And it's not something that I take for granted. I have been asked to sing at homegoing services. To sing with you. And I'd be like,
really?
It's a little bit weird.
Wow.
And then they would say, this was the song that I sang to my child when my child was a baby. And, it was our favorite song. And so then I felt, then it gave it a whole
That's
different
true.
Kind of weight. And, I know that honestly has nothing to do with me. I say to God be the glory because.
Exactly.
I recognize that to have the ability to affect people on an emotional level is spiritual. And that does not come from me. It comes through me. And I'm just grateful that I was gifted in such a way that I can affect people. And it's humbling. It's not something that swells me up with pride. It actually is humbling that, that I have it and I'm grateful. And I always say to God be the glory.
Well, Tony, I have to say, just even in you telling the story, I was like, no, I'm thinking to myself, I would have been so upset, just the fact that we might not have heard that record. Like, that is enough to just, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get over that. But that really tells you a lot, so. Folks, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, today we have a very special guest with us today. As you know, we always bring you the very latest with some of the amazing artists that are out there. And today absolutely is no exception. Mr. Tony Terry is with us, and we are just so pleased. Good morning again, Tony, and again, welcome to the show.
Again, thank you for having me, Kerry. I love it. It's refreshing when interviewers kind of know how to interview because, you have not asked one typical question yet, and I like that.
Oh, you're very kind. Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I have to tell you, and just even kind of going back a little bit, one of the things that kind of got to me a little bit, I saw something where you had indicated that, like, when you kind of were starting out, and you were working, I used to work, I'm from, Jersey and Philly and New York and Jersey and all that stuff. So I was aware of the summer youth employment folks. In fact, they still owe me a certificate award to this day. But I remember them, and I heard something, and you had you had worked for them as well, which kind of was your unofficial paying start in the industry.
Yeah,
and I just love that story so much.
Yeah,
so please tell us a little bit more about that, because that's how you got started.
It is. You know, I was one day watching television, and this super exciting show came on called Fame, about a high school of performing arts. And, you know, there were artists, there were dancers dancing in the hallway, there were musicians practicing, you know, on the lawn outside, there were actors working on scenes, there were visual artists painting on the walls inside the school, and there were singers, you know, having voice lessons, and I thought, wow, you can do that in school? And it took a minute to process. And then I found out that there was a school like that in D.C., the Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Amazing.
And the first year I asked my mom, could I audition? Because we didn't live in D.C., we lived in Maryland, in Landover, Maryland. And it would have meant a commute. And the first year I asked my mother, she said, no.
Oh, my.
I mean,
wow.
Unequivocally, no. but what? No. Okay. Because I said so. It was one of those. And and so I didn't. But the next year, I went and auditioned, and I was so green. I had never auditioned before for anything. And I didn't know how to audition. And I thought that I would take a record with me. And I had an album of Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh.
And I was going to sing along with it. That was going to be my audition. That's how green I was.
Wow.
No one told me how to audition for anything. So I go into Duke Ellington and for my audition, and I say, okay, where's the record player? They were like, that's not how we
right.
do it. And so I was like, well, how do you do it?
Wow.
And so they asked me if I had a song prepared, and of course I did. And I sang it, and I just happened to sing it a cappella, and they let me in.
Well, I have to say, that is amazing.
They let me in, and I was terribly excited, and then I told my mother I auditioned.
What did she say?
She actually, after I auditioned, I told her, I said, Mom, I'm going to Duke Ellington this year. And she said, oh, okay. Like, I probably said it with, you know, like, I'm sure I said it with so much confidence because I was already in.
Right.
And I knew that, you know, like, my parents had supported me my whole life. And they knew that it was, you know, that singing was a passion for me. And so she didn't resist. And I was surprised that she didn't resist. But it meant
wow.
that I was going to have to stay with my aunt in D.C., which she welcomed me with open arms. With
that
her three other children in the hood, in the very seed of the scornful.
She
didn't lose any one of us. Nobody ever went into the system. Nobody ever got in trouble. Nobody ever. So she became this iconic person in the hood because no one messed with her children because they respected her.
I love that. Well, I've got to tell you. Yo, Joe, you go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I went in. I got to Duke Ellington, and it was the best time. It was the time that I learned. You know, we had a longer than normal school day. And we would do academics during the day, and then we would focus on our particular arts in the afternoon. And, you know, it was then that I learned about, you know, eight-hour rehearsals and longer, getting it until we get it right. We're going to do it until we get it right. And then the opportunity to audition for and do the street theater, which Mike Malone, one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School of the Arts, also ran by way of the D.C. Youth Employment Program. Under Marion Barry, who the city, if he was alive today, he could probably be mayor now if he was alive.
Yeah, did he even circle back again after some issues and things?
He did.
Wow.
And when he passed away, it was, you know, they shut the city down just to honor him.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah,
it was huge.
I remember
it was
that.
Huge.
Yeah.
And so that was the start. And I mean, and then at the end of my, which I was able to do 2 years of before I cycled out in terms of my age, and Mike Malone, who was one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School, along with Peggy Cooper Kafritz, who were also professors at Howard University, he came to me and he put his hand on my shoulder. I will never forget. And he said, "You're ready." Wow. "You're ready. And you can go. You go to New York with my blessing because you're ready." And I thought, wow, I got Mike Malone's stamp of approval. I mean, that means I'm really ready. And
let me tell you something. Let me tell you, Tony Terry, it is not easy to get even into the high schools. I myself, real quick, I'm going to just jump right on here to tell you. But no, I applied to the high school. They had just opened the Performing Arts High School in Philadelphia.
Right.
My audition, I was so nervous that I screwed it up. So I never got in. So I just, when I hear stories and folks like you and you know, and Jasmine Sullivan went to the one in Philadelphia. And so it just stays with me so very much. So I love, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Because
yeah,
I really, but
by,
I love
by
that.
Being green and not being ready and nervous.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know, I was
the whole thing.
Staring at staring at the clock on the back of the
Amazing.
Room, at the wall, just trying to get through it, all of that.
Yeah, and I keep hearing Debbie Allen. What was that line? Right
sweat
here.
It starts here with sweat. And
that line, really? Wow.
And, listen, and then I found out that Fame, the TV show, while it was set in New York, was actually
uh-huh.
based on what was going on at Duke Ellington.
No, you're kidding me. I never knew
no,
that.
No, I'm not. Debbie Allen was a teacher at
wow.
Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold it. Is that right?
That's absolutely
wow.
100%, yes.
That says it all. Full circle. That's amazing. I did see Leroy, the one that played Leroy, God rest his soul, he passed away, but I remember seeing him out in Los Angeles. I remember hanging out one day. I saw him out there. But
he was
very talented all the way through.
A live wire. A live,
yeah,
live,
yeah,
live,
yeah,
live wire.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you say, Tony Terry, to these folks, you know, to the youngsters who are coming up? And have you had a chance to work with the, you know, the upcoming talent?
Some, you know, actually, that's really, really a good question because I have mixed feelings about encouraging people to enter this business, especially young females, because it is an ego-driven business, and mostly men and women, especially young girls, are taken advantage of more so than not, and they will go as far as to get to the threshold of success. And then nothing. And then they're left to pick up the pieces of their lives and move on and mend it, pull it together and find something else to do when you realize that your dream of being a star is not going to happen. And it's heartbreaking, but it happens more than you could imagine. There was a young lady that was trending recently that was shining a light on a lot of things in the music business. And I do not know her. Jaguar Wright.
Oh, okay. We've seen a name.
A lot of the things that she said had some validity to them.
Wow.
It's really real. And
she tells it like it is. Let me just, for those of you who have not heard of her yet, and a lot of folks have, she really puts it on out there. But
straight no chaser.
Yeah,
great
she notes. Really. That's all I'm gonna say. So, it's good to know that there's some credence to it, right?
Absolutely. I would not want to I would not want to release my 14, 15, 16-year-old daughter into the hands of, you know, anybody, and not be there.
Well, you know, but can we say that back in the day, we just weren't aware of these things. You know, we just heard of an opportunity, and
right.
you all, you know, and you would have to think that you're almost, you know, I hate to say, but some of those, the, you know, the parents, you know, they're getting all this money and stuff. They might have had felt that they needed to turn a blind eye or whatever they call it, you know. It's just heartbreaking, the whole thing,
It is heartbreaking, and, you know, for years and years and years, that kind of thing has gone on. And it's, you know, no one has said anything. And not only the parents have turned a blind eye because they might get a check for $50,000, which might be way more than they even make in a year. Which, you know, $50,000 to someone who has nothing is a lot of money. But $50,000 to someone who has money is nothing.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
And so, you know.
So
money,
you were reluctant, you know.
I would be reluctant because, you know, I know that, like, a young female artist is really, 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 really tough. And I can't even stress it enough, you know, and I would suggest, you know, never ever to be in a room alone with men if you're by yourself. I would suggest never drinking in public because, you know, you don't know what somebody can slip into your drink. I would suggest never smoking in public if that's something that you like to do. Do it in the privacy of your own home, in your own space where you're safe, because people generally in this business are not so nice.
Wow. Well, you heard it right from Mr. Tony Terry, recording artist superstar. Wow.
And it's a hard pill to swallow because it's a business that I love. It's a business that I love and still have passion for it. And, you know, want to, you know, I've been fortunate in that I've been able to continue working, but not for lack of working hard, because I put in my time, I put in my effort, and it's always about growing and improving and evolving, and never thinking that I know it all, and I'm willing to learn.
Well, you have the best disposition I've talked to in a long time when it comes to the music business, I have to tell you. Tony, I do want to ask you about one thing that entered my mind. And that is the acting part. Now, how did you kind of make that bridge across from the music over to the acting, and then kind of merging the two with maybe the, you know, like Mama, I Wanna Sing and all that kind of stuff? How did that come about with the acting?
Well, it actually happened in reverse. It started with the acting. I mean, I grew up singing in church, but you know, I was trained in musical theater and, you know, acting and singing to combine
goes together. Right?
I didn't know that it was going to be the music that would catapult me into, you know, the hearts and minds of people. Because again, for me, it was just about having the opportunity to share. I always call it sharing because it's sharing. It's sharing, know, with people, the music, the experience, and I just didn't know how it was going to happen. I never really thought about it. I just wanted to be ready for whatever it was. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. But what crosses my mind, see, back in the day, I remember quite often, if you came out as a singer, if that's where you kind of blew up from that, then, you know, I don't know whether it was the public thing or the executives or whatever, they wanted to only pigeonhole. That's all that you got to do. Was to, you know, to sing. Oh, if you start as an actor, then that was it, and they knew you know, you blew up, that was it.
You couldn't be a singer if you're an actor.
You could not.
Right.
You could not.
Right. And you couldn't be a gospel singer if you're an R&B singer.
Exactly.
And Aretha Franklin was just kind of like, you know, she just broke the mold because she decided that, you know, I'm a singer. I grew up in a church. You can't really tell me what I can't sing.
I don't know how they could ever tell Aretha anything. Aretha was Aretha. She was Miss Aretha, let me tell you. But I'll tell you, I really, and it shocks me because to me, artists are not usually one-trick pony type folks.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks who are so creative and so talented, they're talented across the spectrum usually.
Yeah.
And so so these days we get to see that a lot more.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that has a lot to do with, one, the whittling down of all of the major industry. You know, there's now probably now four major labels.
Right.
And pretty much everybody we know has a smartphone and a laptop. And get it done in your living room. Everybody can, anybody can be a producer, if you will, or at least they think they can. Right. Not understanding that, you know, the most successful ones are studied and they know what they're,
absolutely,
and it's not by chance. But, you know, people decide that they want to pluck away, and then sometimes they come up with some magic. Magic is happening. And we, with the internet, you have access to the world, just like any major label. And so it kind of levels the playing field in a whole lot of ways. I remember in the 80s, my manager telling me, Tone, it's going to be digital. I'm telling you, it's going to be digital.
Really?
And I'd be like, okay, Bob, I hear you, man, but you have to keep saying it like that.
Well, but that's amazing, though. Back in the 80s, they knew?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. He was like, you better be ready. Better get on board.
Wow.
Better get on board early.
Wow. So these days, because of that, a lot of, you know, way back when you had to shop, you know, demos and this and that to, you know, every label, you know, from here to L.A. Nowadays, like you said, you could basically just kind of put yourself on out there.
Yeah, you can.
You know, across social media.
It's all about money. You absolutely can. There have been many people that have succeeded just because they were on Instagram, or they just, you know, and their video went viral or something. And you know, there are also artists. You know, the world is bigger than the United States, and that's what the internet brings to you. It brings you the entire world. I know of artists that have sold 100 million records, and we've never heard their record one time, not once.
That is amazing.
In America, but, you know, they're living large, doing well, succeeding, and we know nothing about it. And there are lots of stories like that.
Wow. You are very inspirational. Folks, let me just bring everybody up to speed here. You know, thank you so much for being part of this, Mr. Tony Terry. You guys, we're listening to the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. He is a music superstar, and we are so honored. Now, I want to talk about your current project. I want to hear all about your new single, what's going on. Tell our listeners.
Right before COVID started, I signed a new recording deal, and it's been actually very stressful from that
Congratulations,
moment.
Congratulations, too,
well,
by the way.
Thank you. However, before I signed my record deal, I'm a recording artist, so I'm always recording. And so I recorded this song called Born to Love You, and I just kind of put it in the pile of other things that I recorded. I'm my own worst critic. So one of my brothers, he tells me all the time, he's like, Tone, man, Your worst work is better than a whole lot of people's best work. You got to stop being so hard on yourself. You got to really kind of like loosen up a little bit. But you know, I am a bit of a, I wouldn't say a perfectionist, but you know, I want it to be right. I want it to feel right. And so I recorded Born to Love You and just kind of put it in the pile. And then I started addressing this new record deal that had been presented to me, and I'm spending a lot of energy getting this record deal worked out, negotiating it. And in the meantime, I had asked one of my partners who owns the label if he thought this particular record was a hit. And he called me back within 30 seconds. He was like, man, not only is it a hit, but I got you, I want to put it out on my label. And
wow.
So on a handshake, I gave him, you know, a small percentage of the publishing. And he went running with it, and it turned into a hit record for me. And I was over here trying on one side, negotiating to the point of just absolute frustration. And then on the other hand, I have a record over here that's taking off, and I didn't even realize it was happening because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention.
This is unbelievable. And I became Born to Love You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
And so it turns out the record deal I walked away from and Born to Love You, I started putting all my energy in and then to the next situation that we're about to release two singles now with the same company, my brother Adrian Meeks at Song Source Music Group. I have two singles, one called Your Love Is All I Need, which is a very powerful ballad, and then another one that's kind of puts you in the mind frame of Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues, Make You Want to Holler. and it's called Brighter Day, and it speaks about it speaks about you know what's happening, and the chorus suggests that if they would just know your name, then I know that you would release us from these chains. So we talk about, you know, just recognizing who our source is and where the power of love comes from. And if we could as a collective do that, then a lot of the problems that we have could kind of absolve themselves.
That's right. That's right. But folks don't see so clearly as that, I don't think.
No. It's an idealist concept.
Yes. But a good one.
But at least but when you plant the seed, though, you got to plant the seed.
Exactly.
For people to at least start thinking about it.
This is true.
And some people don't even understand that, you know, they might hear a song. Have you ever heard a song that you didn't like, and then you hear it so much that you start singing it?
Yes. Well, in the old days, especially, yeah.
Yeah. And so the seed is planted.
Right.
And then it starts to take root, and then before you know it, you're bobbing to that concept that you couldn't stand 2 weeks ago.
That's right. or you hear it years later, and you love it then.
Right. Yeah.
Usually.
I have a specific situation that has happened. In 2001,
yeah.
I released an album, and the single that we released, which has a weird title called Freaky Little Game, we could not get arrested with that record. I mean, nobody was even interested in even hearing it. And then I went back to D.C. years, 20 years later. I mean, it was 2020 now. We're talking about 2000. So this was just a couple of years ago when I went back. And I went to a club, and the band was playing my song.
That is
that
unreal.
Particular song. And I was like, well, how is it that y'all are playing this song? And he said, bruh, every band in town plays this song. What? How is that possible? How is that possible that every band in town plays this song? They're like, this song is so dope. I couldn't even believe it. And until I saw it for myself. So when I played City Winery in D.C., and I had prepared to perform the song. And when I did, the whole energy of the building shifted. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, well, when I put this record out back in 2000, y'all weren't interested. What happened? what happened?
Is that not something you see?
Yeah.
That's right.
It's amazing.
Or you listen with new ears later. Or I don't even know if you can describe how, you know, what that
is. I don't, but I'll take it.
Exactly. Well, I'm loving it. Well, listen, I have to say, first of all, Tony, now, you have just been just doing some huge things. You've always done huge things. You've never fallen, like, in my opinion, fallen off and, you know, just forget all about music and all that. You stayed with it. And you really have, and just, you have a legacy. And so this is amazing, and that's, you know, that's very moving. So I just want to thank you on my behalf, and, you know, and all the listeners that we have out there, just for what you're doing, you know, because we try to get you guys on. We love that you all are still, you know, very much in, you're still relevant. Let me just put it that way, because that's the word everybody's using these days.
Yeah, you know, it's about, you know, when you say relevant and, you know, reinventing, along with signing the New Deal, I started doing, because soon after the COVID thing struck the country and our calendars were cleared, I started needing something to do. And I started singing on my Facebook page. Initially I titled it Chilling at the House, Just Like Everybody Else. Every Tuesday I was there, chilling at the house just like everybody else. And then it turned into Tony Terry Tuesday. And since March, every Tuesday I go online at 9 o'clock on my fan page, and just for an hour, sometimes it goes 2 hours, just depending on how I feel, and just music, classics, Tony Terry songs. And it has become this thing that became way bigger than I even ever thought about it being, you know, one occasion we had 90,000 people watching live. And for
wow.
me, that was huge.
That is huge.
Because when I first started, you know, I would have 100, 150 people, you know, for the first few weeks. And for it to grow into this thing that has, you know, become so important to the people that come in and check me out every Tuesday, it's just been amazing. So it started out as therapy for me and turned into something that was therapeutic for my fans. And they would call me and or send inbox me and say, you know, I lost a relative today and your performance tonight is, you know, pulled me through it. And, you know, I mean, those kinds of things make it bigger than me. So even when I don't even feel like going on, I go on because I know that it's bigger than me and it's not about me and that I'm being of service to in the little way that I can. Like the little drummer boy, all he had was his drums. All he had, that's all he had to offer. What I have is my voice. And if it helps and if it provides just a moment of a distraction, of comfort, then, you know, that's a blessing for me.
You are just one of the most grounded individuals I think we've chatted with in a very long time here on this show. I'm just blown away, Tony Carey. I really am. Very, very grounded. I'm taking that you have a great balance with home life and professional world, which is awesome. You know, you have to be just to be so just the humility. It's great. I'm
well,
just
the people that I hang around with. Do not mind checking me, as I
they,
don't
they let you
mind,
know if you get a big head.
and I don't mind checking them.
No, I love it. I love it. It works both ways.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I've always charged. I've always believed that friendship comes with responsibility, and because of that, I have a small network of friends that we hold each other accountable, and we pour into each other. Otherwise, I can't imagine why we would be friends. Like if we're not bringing something of value to each other, at the end of the day, if my interaction with you does not make me better in some way, then I'm kind of wasting my time. And so, therefore, I have to put you in the acquaintance pile, and the friendship pile.
Exactly.
You know, has to, because friendship is a gift, not only from you but from the other person that you receive it from. It's a gift. And that comes with something. That means something. And a lot of people take it for granted. So, you know, my grounding, I think, comes from, you know, my family. Like, my mom has no problem telling me to take the trash out and bust them suds in the kitchen. No problem at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you have that, you know, you can't help but just
be. You can't help but be grounded.
it takes yeah. a lot of energy to keep an ego inflated. And I would just rather, it's easier to just, you know, be who I really am.
Now, I want to ask you about some shout-outs. I have to, of course, shout out the amazing David Pick-Gonley for helping to make some connections. Just awesome. From you guys know him, and he's been on our show from Surface. Now we know that you guys might be doing some things, and I'm not going to ask just what or anything because it may not be ready yet or you may not be ready to talk about it, but whenever, okay, well,
yeah.
Are you able to give us a little, you know, a little bit of some of the details on it just yet, or you want to come back?
Well, Pick asked me if I would sing some of their songs over for a project that he was doing. He was going to re-record his songs, but you know, he's a flautist, and
yes.
he was intending to re-record the songs, and he asked me if I would sing the hook, and I did. And when we started laying them down, it just felt like, so I just said, you know, hey, let me take a pass at the lead. And when I did, he was like, you know, we have to go ahead and record that, right?
That's it, exactly. Wow.
And we did, and it turned out to be the beginning of what would be Resurface. And that is me singing those great songs with Pick. And I'm just honored that he would have me, you know, to do them. I'm honored that he is, you know, wants me to do them, and they sound great. And so Shower Me With Your Love is the first song that we've done. It's finished. And then we're going to do
song.
Only You Can Make Me Happy.
All right.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then we're also doing, where I'm going to feature pick on my project, is I've never been interested in doing this before, is to re-cut with you.
Wow.
But I heard this absolutely brilliant production that Pick came up with for a relaunch of the song that made me say I have to do it. I would just as soon leave well enough alone. There's no need to bother it. But this production says, let's get her done. And so we're going to do that.
Well, you heard it right here first on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I'm so honored. I really am. And is there anyone that you would like to shout out to?
Well, I mean, you know, just my crew, who have been loyal and helping keep things together. We've developed some really important things. We're taping a new show called Conversations with Kings, and which I'm super excited about. And it's not even a show. It's really a peek in that allows viewers to see men interact with each other in a way that we are not talking about necessarily cars, women, and sports, but life matters, matters of the heart, toxic masculinity. I mean, things that really matter that go beneath the surface that men generally don't talk about in an environment that is conducive for us all to feel comfortable and just have real conversations with each other. And we've already recorded an episode that is so powerful that I cannot wait for the world to see, because, you know, we have been conditioned not to share our feelings.
That's right.
We've been conditioned not to be emotional beings when we are as emotional being as our counterparts, as the women in our lives. But you know, we've been conditioned to believe that an expression of
especially
emotion
in our community
makes you soft.
Right.
And we don't understand that it really does take a big man to let the pain show. And it takes bigger man to let that pain go.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah. So we're shining the light on that. I'm very proud of it. And it's going to be coming very soon, maybe to a network near you. But, you know, we have been blessed with the opportunity to be a part of a new platform here called CLS TV, which is basically our own network. And
really?
Yeah. And so which makes us responsible for the content that we supply, that we provide, and even that journey, this venture, which is a new facet of my career, is very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we hope you'll come back and keep us informed right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're loving it.
I will, Carrie. I will, Carrie.
Amazing things. We just wish you nothing but big success, big, 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 big success out there to continue on that huge journey that you have started so, you know, so many years ago, and just done some amazing things. And we're really proud, and I'm just honored to get an opportunity to have you on my show. So
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's really been my pleasure. I see some food that just came in, so I'm going to have to cut you off
right
here.
That's all right. Tony Terry, thank you. I hear you. Listen, enjoy Tony Terry, you guys. No, a couple new singles out there, Born to Love You. Look for that. We'll be in touch. Thank
you
for being with us.
And some gospel songs out, too. We got some gospel music out there, too. Check it out.
Awesome. All right, folks.
Be well, Carrie. Thank you, man. Thank
you
for having
likewise.
Me.
Keep it right here. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us. This is a reminder. Our live call-in lines are open now. Simply press 1 if you've already dialed in.
And remember, we keep the call-in lines open and available throughout the broadcast. Call 516-453-9458. And remember to press 1 if you have a comment or would like to say a shout-out. The Hair Radio Morning Show is your voice in the mornings. Stay with us.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Everyone in the world, when I'm with you, it's for real. nobody but you. Honey, I love you.
And I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the year of the woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Gary Hines. It is my honor to welcome you to today's broadcast. It's Wednesday, April 28th of 2021. It's our show number 554. That's show number 554 for those of you like to keep track. I want to bring to the line my amazing co-stars. We kind of share the mic with every single morning. That's weekday morning right here on the broadcast. Of course, from Harlem, we're talking about Harlem Will Powers. Good morning, Mr. Harlem Will Powers. Good morning and welcome to the radio show.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Happy hump day. Back at you. And also, coming to the line from down in Georgia, we have the one and only Miss Terry. Good morning, Miss Terry, and welcome, 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 welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. All right. Happy. I'm very happy to have you guys with us. We've got a lot to get into, as we do each morning right here on the broadcast. I want to just, before I forget, I want to remind everybody at the end of today's show, we've got more to get to, of course, between now and then. But just as a reminder, we have a live guest who's actually going to be on with us all the way from California. So he'll be on about 8:30 this morning Eastern Time. That's 7:30 Central. We want you guys to definitely tune in. His name is Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. You guys know him in the industry. He's a cosmetologist, a hairstylist out in California, and we're happy to have him with us. So we can't wait to talk to him live on the air. So it's going to be some good stuff. But first, how are you guys doing today? Miss Terry, how are you doing down there in Georgia? How's it going? How's the weather, by the way?
Great. Doing just great. Trying to get acclimated to this super warm weather we are having, which is great, but it just takes a little getting used to. I'm just like, oh my God, it's so hot.
You're hot in Georgia. It's right, but her hot is a little different than our hot up here, Will Powers. Am I right, Harlem Will?
Yeah.
You're absolutely all right. It flips on a switch in Atlanta. That's one thing. One of the things, most beautiful things about Atlanta. When that weather switches, it's go time.
Yeah.
Get the sundresses out. Get the flip-flops.
Yes. And speaking of which, here in New York today, on this Wednesday morning, it's the 28th again of April, we're supposed to have it up in the 80s today. So we're real, real excited about that. Speaking of temperature, there's a lot going on in the news these days as well. We've got a whole bunch of announcements. We want to talk about the Hair Radio Awards, Black Hair Month, so much that we want to get into on this broadcast. So we're going to go ahead and start with Mr. Will Power. What's going on? Will, anything?
Yeah, so speaking of, you know, the weather's coming in at the greatest time right now. You know, it's almost on the bridge of, we're in the middle of, what is it, spring now? We're about a couple of weeks
into
spring?
Yeah, that's right. We're still spring, sure.
So, right, so the weather's starting to turn, right, the weather's starting to turn, and it's just in time with all the coronavirus cases starting to really be on a downturn. And now, according to the CDC and President Biden, the restrictions on wearing masks outdoors are starting to come down. So that means New York's, and this is specifically for, and these are rules that they're putting out specifically for people who aren't wearing masks. So it's reported in ABC that, excuse me, guys, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released new guidelines for people who are fully vaccinated from COVID-19. And among those changes are fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear masks for outdoor activities like walking, running, biking, or gathering outdoors with a small group, which is something I tend to be and, you know, shared with you guys on the show. So that's starting to come down now for people who are fully vaccinated. So what I'm wondering is, how do you guys think that's going to make people feel about the, you know, with the restrictions coming out, but they seem to be specifically targeting people who've been vaccinated. Like, what do you think the ramifications are going to be with that decision, guys?
Well,
I think it...
Go ahead, Ms. Terry. What would you like to say?
I was going to say, I think it,
yeah,
it
Ms. Terry,
may give... I feel like it may give some people who have not gotten vaccinated yet... maybe a sense of urgency to go out and actually get vaccinated. It's going to give somewhat...
Ms. Terry, for some reason, your audio sounds not so great.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, but I'll tell you what, and maybe you might want to repeat that as well. Would you be kind of just to repeat that one more time?
Yes. I was saying the fact that the restrictions are coming down for people who are fully vaccinated. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. The fact that the restrictions are coming down for people who have been fully vaccinated may, you know, give the illusion to people who are not vaccinated that maybe they should be, because it's going to look like the people who are vaccinated are able to do, you know, more things and not have as many restrictions placed upon them. So I think it's going to at least, it's going to make people, if they haven't thought about it at this point, I think they will.
Go ahead, Mr. Carey.
Okay, well, I think you're absolutely right. In other words, it sounds like this was designed to incentivize people to get the vaccine, obviously, from my perspective. And I think that's great. I think if that's what it takes for them to feel comfortable and this and that, and this is what they're trying to do as a nation to get everybody vaccinated, that's fine, and I applaud them for their efforts. For me, it's just you know, taking everything. I look at all the entire picture. So I understand what they're trying to do. So I'm going to park my belief system there this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I support everything that what they're trying to do for, you know, make your own personal decision on that. But I definitely support whatever you think you should do. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
No, that makes
yes.
perfect sense. That makes perfect sense because, yeah, and, you know, like, this is just to encourage people. Okay, for example, guys, you know, I've shared with the Hair Radio Show, I am an EMT, and just to let everybody know, yes, I did get vaccinated. I got both shots from Pfizer. I feel just fine. The symptoms were mild for me. And, you know, what I worry about is that this is going to be something like a way to distinguish people from certain people, and I wouldn't want the stigma. You know, there could be a stigma that hangs in the air for people who have gotten vaccinated opposed to people who don't have that, you know, who haven't gotten vaccinated. And if it incentivizes more people to get vaccinated, that means there's a lot more people who don't have to get vaccinated, because now we get towards herd immunity. So whether you're on the fence or not, this is just another incentive out there for it to say, hey, if you're thinking about it, go do it. If you don't think you want to do it, it's fine. This is mainly for people who want to do it. So that's what I take from it. So, yeah, good points from that. And there's another story out there that's been circulating around the Internet of a Holiday Inn worker who was going through a mental breakdown because he was being harshly criticized by a customer. And it was provoking the employee to apparently suffer a mental breakdown while the customer was berating him, and he calls himself a self-prescribed journalist who calls himself the world's number one race baiter. He posted that in the video himself. I'm not going to mention his name. That's just what he wrote in the description. And he was framing the situation in a racial terms by highlighting the employee was white and the customer was black. And I'll be able to share the video with others on my timeline if you follow me at William Burton on Facebook. But when you see the video, it's just an employee having a mental breakdown. He's wearing his mask, and you can see he's being frustrated, and the customer is just berating him, you know, and it just makes me think about the mental health that's actually going on with a lot of these employees at these jobs during this time in the world right now. So that's another thing I wanted to pose to both of you guys, and I wanted to start with Ms. Terry. What do you think the mental breakdown? You know, other than this seeming like it's a bit heartless to just record somebody while they're going through a difficult time, what do you think about the mental breakdown, the mental anxiety some people could be suffering at their jobs in this new world we live in, Ms. Terry?
Well, I definitely feel like mental health crises are at an all-time high right now, especially dealing with COVID-19 and the different restrictions, having to stay inside and not do as much and not be able to be around other people, things like that. And when you were speaking of it earlier, I didn't realize I actually saw the video of the young man having the mental breakdown, and immediately I knew that that's what was happening when I saw the video. Just very unfortunate situation, not something that you want to provoke or, you know, of course, if someone didn't record it, we wouldn't be able to have this discussion. But there's definitely a need for more mental health help in our communities all over the world. Mental health is really important. And right now, it's definitely needed now more than ever.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Terry. Wow. Mr. Carrie Hines.
Yeah,
I'm
listening.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing, you know, it reeks, especially when the gentleman, you know, goes, this is his claim to fame, baiting people on race. Stupid. Just stupid.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the mental health issue, this is so huge. And I remember back many, many years ago, folks who had mental issues were pretty much away from society. They were housed, apart from society. And I remember when I was a kid, and I remember they had declared that they were releasing all the folks out of these homes. And there was all kinds of things, even abuse at the homes. I mean, it was folks for and against it. But I remember that they kind of opened up the doors for all these people to, you know, just kind of be back into society. And I remember that, and I remember all the upheaval. And I say that the folks, when they kind of did that, they started to make a shift happen where they started to make the police, in my opinion, responsible for the social, you know, dealing with folks with social issues and mental health problems. And the police, just like everybody else, we are not trained to really care for folks who have mental challenges. And no one should be recording someone who's having a mental, any kind of an episode, whether it's a mental episode or a physical episode like that. These are not, that's not wise in my opinion. And I think that we've got to take the mental health thing very seriously as a country, as a world, really. And I think that it needs to be put back into the hands of the professionals. It needs to be pulled away from policing. I know that's a different, a little slightly different topic on it, but I think that it needs to be pulled away from that, and we need to get folks the help that they need. Seems like we can get help if you have a broken arm or, you know, a sprained ankle. But something when it comes to, you know, your mental capacity, it's totally ignored. Maybe there is a, you know, that word you used earlier, a big stigma around telling folks that you have mental challenges, if you will. I grew up at a time, and also studying in school, and I remember that they were, you know, it was my understanding that everybody could benefit from talking to someone about mental health. That's what I learned early on, to share and talk about your feelings and what you're processing and all this kind of stuff as a way to avoid, perhaps, you know, problems down the road. So I was always taught to be communicative. You know, so, but there are folks who are facing really challenge, big challenges. And I think, Ms. Terry, I think that's what you kind of alluded to earlier. Every day, there are folks who are facing it, especially now, right?
Recently, so I'll say this, and this is just coming from a standpoint of a person that doesn't, that is unaware. So I'm 46 years old. And up until recently, I was unaware. So recently, I actually witnessed someone having a mental breakdown. And so I feel like a lot of America, a lot of people in the world are just unaware. But until you see it firsthand, you won't know exactly what someone, you know, someone is talking about when they say mental health or a mental health breakdown. And once you do witness it, you know, I was totally, like, taken back by the situation. I was like, oh my God. And things were happening so fast. And
how did you feel about
so
that, Terry?
Well, now that we're talking about the way that police handle things, definitely, if there's no mental health training in place and not defending the things that they do, I could see how someone would get shot, because things escalate so fast. And the incident that I witnessed, there was also a weapon involved, and things were escalating so fast. Because it happens so fast. So there definitely needs to be a whole, for the police department and people like that, there needs to be a whole mental health, different courses, different levels of education, all these types of things need to be put in place, because it's definitely a issue that needs to be not I wouldn't say resolved, that would be the wrong word, but it's definitely a issue that needs to be taken up by police officers, and actually, really, honestly, just citizens should be, there should be something that we could take that could help out with it. So I feel
let me just jump in on that, Ms. Terry. I get your point. I just want to make it clear, though. I don't want to really have folks think that this is why they get shot so much. You know, but I understand your point of that things can escalate very quickly, and where the police right now are not necessarily trained for this, might leap to the wrong decision, and could be very, could be very violent and real tragic circumstances. Let me just say it a little differently as well. The whole thing about this is that, you know, like you said, you witnessed an episode. I myself as well. I have friends that I've met along the way who this is their daily challenge, you know, and I had a very good friend of mine who kind of really made me see. I mean, I've been around things like this my whole life. You know, I've been very, 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 very close to folks who have mental challenges and, you know, for across the whole spectrum. But one particular individual who I know very well, and he has what they call schizophrenia. And so he would have these huge episodes and stuff. And even to this day, I'm fearful I'll turn on the news and it'll be something tragic, God forbid, because he would have these horrible episodes right here in New York, you know, where I live. And I just, and I've known him for so long and watched how he before was just a normal, as we say normal, whatever that means in psychology, but he was a normal, quote-unquote, person. And just growing up and then somehow in the probably mid to late 20s, which I'd done a lot of research and read a lot about it, because I saw so much in the way of similarities between folks who have particularly in the, you know, schizophrenia and stuff like that. And it just, it's very interesting to me. It's very, very, very interesting dynamics that go on with these folks. And my heart just really breaks, especially to see young people so, to me, seems so ill. It's heartbreaking. It really is. But again, I had a chance to be up close and see, and I've done a lot of research and looking at it. Plus, I've had folks that I've been close with. I think it kind of runs in families sometimes. Now, I didn't know anybody in my particular family with anything like that, but I remember my mom had a very good friend. I won't even call her name. But I remember her very well when I was growing up, and she would literally talk to herself, and we were very kind to her. I remember that. And this was somebody I was introduced to as a little, you know, like 7, 8, 9, you know, year old kid, 10-year-old kid type thing. And I remember, and I was so glad because looking back, it made me less fearful and better able to know that these folks existed.
Right.
And it's really, it's something, but you know, you mentioned about training and all that stuff for the officers. Well, I think there needs to be certainly some type of training, but they certainly should not be the folks handling this. Whenever there is someone having an episode in public, the police, of course, I think they should be notified, but like the 911 operators and all these folks, they should have immediately a hotline to social services to let them intervene. Because those are the folks who are trained to literally talk you off the ledge. And so they can kind of, you know, make the situation less problematic. Because right now, as we've seen in case after case, you know, it seems to me that those officers show up and they are left pretty much what it seems with, quick, they seem trigger happy to me. And the poor people, you know, the families call the police thinking they're coming to help. And they come and allegedly kill these people. So it's really sad. And as you said, things do escalate really fast and quite often. These folks who are faced with these kind of challenges are very, you know, it can appear to be threatening and it could be very scary. And you're talking to trigger happy folks who they don't need much of that to start. You know, they don't even need, jaywalking has kind of escalated these days into something that's been deadly. So So you can imagine somebody, brandishing a knife or screaming or running around with no clothes on. We've seen those types of things right here. You know,
right.
So it's really quite sad. But I hope that families, not just the people, but families get the help that they need to support them and to teach and help folks who are dealing with this. And we need to talk about it. There was an organization that I had uncovered a couple of days back, and I have been meaning to share that. It's just interesting that you bring that up today about this topic, Harlem Will, because I definitely want to get you some resources that we'll also put out there through our platforms at Hair Radio so that you guys will know where to turn for help. And it's not just that we're having these discussions and they end nowhere. So we'll continue to talk about this throughout our broadcast and upcoming broadcasts. And, this is something, even when I have events, we always like to make sure that they are connected to community outreach type things. And I think this is an important one that we shouldn't just let go. Good uncovering, Harlem Will. And Ms. Terry, good
yes.
comment as well. Good commentary, folks. Want to take a moment to say we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back. We do have to talk about the Hair Radio Awards. I'm going to get that on in. I'm going to also talk about the upcoming Road to Healthy Hair workshop. And Ms. Terry, I'm hoping that you can lead off a little bit about the hairstylist days. Just when we come back. Would that be nice? So why don't we take a little bit, if I can kind of maneuver here, we'll take a little bit of a music break. We'll be back on the other side with much more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Here's Fast Car. This is one of my old favorites, Miss Tracy Chapman. Stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
Get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, with the bottle, that's the way it is. He says body's too old for working. Body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said somebody's got to take care of him. I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt like crap around my shoulder. Someone. You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car, I got a job that pays all our bills. You sell drinking, stay at the bar, see more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better, thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. I remember when we were driving in your car. So fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car, fast enough so you can fly away. You gotta make a decision, leave tonight or live and die this way.
You're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. We've got a big show ahead for you, so we want you to stay tuned. There's a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us, everybody.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines. As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. I have a very special guest joining us. Now, she's from the world of nutrition. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome Jackie. Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. Good morning, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Now, I do want to clarify, you're not just nutrition. You are actually all about healthy living. You have to tell us more about it.
Yes. I mean, I do like to cook, and that's part of the some of the things that I like to do, Jack Rabbit plant-based cooking. But I also just like to talk about healthy living as well. You know, I want to be able to share some things with your audience and, you know, about healthy living. I want to be able to introduce, you know, nutrition. I want to talk about exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, and rest. And, you know, just trusting in the divine power and how important all of this is regarding our health and our nutrition. So it's just a whole gamut of things, you know. Eating right, nutrition is the number one thing, but there's other things that we need to be doing that we need to incorporate in our lives each and every day.
And what are some of those other things, too, that we should be doing?
Some of those things that we should be doing outside of nutrition is, you know, we should be exercising every day. And when we think about exercise, we don't necessarily have to think about it as something like, you know, having a membership at a gym. It can be something as simple as walking every day, which is probably the best thing that, you know, we can do as far as exercise, you know, because we're stretching when we exercise, we're moving our limbs when we exercise, you know, we're getting sunshine, which is part of that, you know, staying healthy. We're going to intake some water because, you know, we need that hydration, and we need rest. And so in order to get that exercise in, we need to learn how to properly, you know, rest our bodies. You know. We need to
No, that was just, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes. Well, what I'm getting from all of this, Jackie, is that for me, I look at making a big pizza pie. Each slice represents one of these things that you've just mentioned right here. And if you remove it, then it's missing a piece of that pie. It doesn't incorporate the whole pie. Somebody's ate a slice, basically. So you want to really start to focus on pulling everything together, and I think this is just awesome. And I want to back it up a little bit, you know, for our listeners out there. Let's just let folks know, you will be joining the lineup right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm proud to say. So it's really great to have you coming on board to share these regular segments on healthy living. And again, healthy living incorporates so much. It's not just one little slice, pardon the pun. You know, it incorporates so many things, as you've just pointed out. So, Jackie, I kind of want to back up a little bit. Let's kind of start with this. Tell the folks where you are based out of. How did you become a healthy living czar? How did all this happen? How did this all start for you?
Okay, sure. Well, I'm based out of Minnesota, and it all started back when I was probably 16, because 16 is when I gave up beef meat, and I've always had an interest in healthy living, and so, you know, as the years go by and as you get older, you realize, you know, I need these things as a part of my life in order to, you know, live the best that I can in my best life. And so that's kind of how it all got started, you know, just me stopping eating beef and then just, you know, doing reading and just, you know, trying to cook and just live, you know, healthy. And
well, what made you give up the beef at 16?
Well, years ago, my mother had gone to a place where she was learning on nutrition and health. And so she came back and she talked to us about it. And I think I just decided, you know, not to eat beef anymore. I never was a big meat eater growing up anyway, because I just didn't like the texture. You know, some of us are texture eaters, you know, like, say, for an example, some people just hate tofu because it's just too soft. And so I just do not.
I'm raising my hand right now in case you didn't know that out there.
Right. So, you know, texture sometimes has a lot to do with things as far as why we eat things, why we don't eat things. But, yeah, so I just decided to give up beef and, you know, just reading things about beef and knowing that it wasn't really the best, you know, meat for us at that time. So I figured if I was going to start somewhere, let me start with the beef. And we never ate pork, so my next meat would have been beef. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is just interesting. So I find this really fascinating. And I think that the fans out there, and you guys, you'll be able to pass along whatever questions you have for Jackie, who will be talking about this with her healthy living segment right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show each week. Now, I want to be clear. So your 30-minute show within a show will be starting soon on our network. So we're going to keep you guys out there informed so that you'll know when to tune in. And until then, you can reach out to Jackie right through our Salon TV Network app here at Hair Radio, so which is just awesome. You can download the app at the Google Play Store, Salon TV Network, and you'll be able to connect with Jackie through that. Now, I'm excited about this Jack Rabbit Eats. So this is the wonderful healthy living segment that is going to be plant-based cooking. Now, Jack, I got to ask you, Jackie, what's the name Jack Rabbit all about? The listeners would never let me live it down if I didn't ask you the name Jackrabbit. So what is that all about?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Carrie, because, you know, it's just my name is Jackie, as I mentioned, and I'm the youngest of six children. And so my family called me Jackrabbit. And so that was a nickname that was given to me by my dad.
And
so when I decided to do plant-based cooking, it had nothing to do with the fact that rabbits, you know, they don't eat meat. Nothing at all. It was just fitting for the fact that I eat plant-based, you know. And so that's where the name Jackrabbit Eats plant-based cooking comes from. So it's just a family nickname, and I just incorporated it into what I like to do.
Well, it gets no better than that. That was just the divinity of it all. I just think it's amazing. It really is. Well, listen, I am excited to have you here on the network, as I mentioned. What would you like to see yourself bringing to this whole piece of the pie? And why did you want to come to our network? Share that with everybody.
Well, I just wanted to be able to relate a message out there regarding healthy living and just let people know that it's nothing, you know, really hard to do. It's something that, yeah, we have to try to do every day, you know, regardless whether it's eating right, our nutrition, whether it's exercising, whether it's drinking enough water or, you know, making sure we get enough sunshine, you know. I just want people to live their best life and live as healthy as you possibly can, because I think it's just very important for us as, you know, as people in this world. It just gives us clarity in our thinking. It just introduces us to an awesome way of, you know, just being healthy and sharing that healthiness with others and, you know, and just being happy. And when we're happy, we want to share things. I mean, I do. I like to share things with people when it makes me happy and makes me feel good.
Awesome. Can say it no better than that. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much. Did you have anyone you want to shout out to before we sign off?
Sure. I want to give a shout out to my family, you know, my husband who has been behind me with this and who has encouraged me to go ahead and do this, Michael. I want to give a shout out to my sister, Alicia, who has also encouraged me to, you know, to step out there, get out of my comfort zone. And just anybody that I know, I can't call everybody by name, but just know that I love you and that if you're listening to this broadcast, I hope that it brings you inspiration and I hope it brings you encouragement.
It gets no better than that. However, it does, because you're also going to be doing a series of videos of cooking demonstration videos. Again, plant-based, I call it healthy cooking. It's healthy living segment, and you're going to be doing a version of this exclusively for our Salon TV network. So as long as you have our app, you'll be able to watch Jackie on camera leading you throughout your healthy living. And again, she's going to be talking about a whole lot of wonderful things, and we just so support you, and we look so forward to all of this. Again, I want to thank you for being with us this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Carrie.
All right. Keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to come. Stay with us. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Kerry Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It is Wednesday morning. It's April 28th of 2021, and I am so excited to have you guys with us. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we're talking to the one and only Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black. And right now, I'm bringing back to the line, of course, Harlem Will and Miss Terry. And we've been having a great conversation off mic in our wonderful Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show green room, so to speak. Which is our virtual studio. And I want to just say, I have loved the conversation. So we're going to bring you guys on in. And I really wanted to talk about this. And it's really the topic of friends and friendship. And in my case, some of the folks who've kind of passed on, so to speak, who I consider to be friends. But first, Ms. Terry, how do you define friend? Because I think we look at the word friend in different ways. Some of us call everybody a friend, and some of us call absolutely nobody a friend. So how do you define friend?
So as far as my definition of friends, that's kind of a hard question for me, because I feel like I, even, you know, when I was younger growing up, elementary school, middle school, high school, I felt like I felt like I didn't really have any friends per se, but I have two siblings myself. And so my mom had three daughters and her sister had three sons and they live right next door to us. So it was kind of like we were like the unofficial Brady Bunch because it was three boys and three girls. And so we were all so close growing up. I mean, it didn't matter. You know, friends didn't matter because I always had my cousins and my sisters. So those were my friends. And we're still pretty tight to this day. There's a couple of us that are not as tight, but we're still pretty tight to this day. So I'd say my sisters are probably my best friends. And then outside of my sisters, there's only a couple of people. And so I guess when you think about it, there's different levels of friends. So there are a group of coworkers that I've had in the past, and we kind of keep in touch with each other. And I guess they would be considered some level of friends. And then my sisters, of course, and my cousins are on the top tier as far as friends. And, you know, some of my clients I would consider as friends because some of them I've been doing over 10 years. And so I would kind of consider them as my friends. So it's levels to the word friend.
Okay, all right, interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm. What about you, Harlem Will Power? How do you define friend? I feel like playing a Kenny Loggins song, whenever I call you friend song. For the real old timers, I think that's a 70s song, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, I love that song.
Kenny Loggins.
But yeah.
Woo.
Yeah, Kenny, that's an old one. Google it if you haven't heard it, or YouTube it. It's Whenever I Call You Friend. And I think he sings it with Stevie Nicks, and I love that song.
I'm
so anyway, so how do
Google
you... Yeah, I just really told my age there. But how do you like about, you know, what does the word friend mean to Harlem Wells?
Friend is something where we've established a bond. You know, it's something, it goes past surface level. It starts somewhere on the surface level, but then the more you talk, you actually develop a bond. And it happens organically. You know when somebody that you know can be put in the acquaintance category, where somebody you see from time to time and like, yeah, you know, you guys agree on certain things, mention something about work, or if you see them from time to time, you mention common things that you see together. That's one thing. And then you have somebody who begins to become an acquaintance that you see on a regular basis. You guys are always talking. But then when you get to a an emotional bond, where you guys are always talking about something, you're hanging around with each other, and it almost becomes a relationship. You're almost flirting, you know, to put in certain terms like that. You're almost flirting with somebody, you know, on an emotional level, which is what makes them a friend, you know? And it doesn't, you know, and it doesn't mean, oh, it's a relationship, like an intimate relationship. No, it's a platonic relationship. It's something where you guys get each other. You guys have stories that you're into with one another. It's a relationship. And I've had multiple friends, I've had multiple acquaintances, but I've had about 3 close friends, I think, since high school, and I mean close friends since high school, that are still here to this day. Like they, and a few of them, I've kept in touch with them. They've gone on and made their own lives, and there's one that I've known for over 20 years. Now, and I say, yeah, there's about 3 of them who are really close friends, and then you have friends, and then you have acquaintances. So I would put it in a category, but it just basically, friendship means to me an emotional bond that you have with somebody, or you know, and you can share it with each other, that you guys just get each other. That's just what friend means to me. To me, Harlem Will.
Wow.
Did I confuse anybody, or did it?
No, I think I kind of got what you were saying. yeah, because I was trying to digest that, Harlem Will Powers. For me, I guess trying to define friend, like Mr. Harry was saying, it is difficult to do because it, you know, friend, the word friend, for me, I take very seriously. When I call you a friend, again, borrowing on that theme song, but when I call you a friend, and I really mean a friend, I mean a friend. You have got to, I hold my friends in very high, like, you know, to very high level and standards. And if you don't really hang in there with those standards, then you're not someone who is on the inside of my friendship circle. Now, I can talk to you every day, and you might think you're my friend.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I know people, they think they're like my best friends, and that's okay. And I'm okay with that. And I'm not talking about any of you fans, because you are truly my dear friends. You're the folks that I rely on every day. But those that I would consider to be associates are just that. And my closest friends, like you said, Will, you had a few friends since high school. I've had about 3, probably 5, that have been very, very dear, and I would consider them to be like they were real friends. And most of them, if not all, have passed away. And so I don't really have to that level of standard friend at all. I have a lot of people that I talk to on a regular basis that I would consider to be associates, but not really like that. Now, don't get me wrong. I have long friends that, you know, on a loose way of saying it, that I've known for decades and stuff like that. But in my real words and meaning of what a friend is, when I define a friend, and again, it's very difficult and it's esoteric, you know, because it's something that kind of fluctuates from person to person, and sometimes it's intangible.
in terms of what makes a friend. But for me, my real definition of a true friend, they're all gone, and I don't think they'll ever be replaced, not at this age. Doesn't mean I can't have people with whom I'm friendly, you know, so I'm not sitting here without anybody to talk to. It's nothing at all like that. And please don't feel sorry for me. That's the last thing you need to be doing. I am a Leo. Okay, so I have people around me. I could have the house full in 2 seconds or on the phone with 50 people. So it's not that. But the thing is, I hold very high standards. When I really say you're a friend, I mean you're a friend. And so, and to me, a friend is somebody that completely, you can talk to about anything. My friends who, especially my, you know, I've had like several different friends who passed away, as I mentioned, and one was my niece, and she passed away, and that was very, and we were like, she was only like a year younger than me, so it was really difficult. We went to high school together and stuff. And so people like that, or, you know, people that I grew up with and they were very close to me. So I've had several of those kind of relationships that have ended prematurely. And everybody, like I said, passed away from something different. But one of my dear, dear friends who we worked together, and that's how I got a chance to meet my dear friend Theo, who passed away like in about 2009, 2010. And it was the craziest of stories because I would chat with him. He lived in New Jersey and I lived here in New York. And I would chat with him often on the phone. And I remember that I could not reach him for about a week. And I know his entire life, you know, I had known him since we were like, you know, both very, very young, you know, workers. And so it had turned out, I remember he had mentioned he was always suffering with asthma. And I never, ever understood asthma. It was something that I didn't take seriously. And I shouldn't say I didn't take seriously. I just, when somebody said it, I didn't, you know, it didn't register with me. It wasn't something that really registered. I knew that they had difficulty breathing and stuff, but I didn't think it was all that serious. And he had always complained of his asthma. Well, I couldn't reach him for about a week. And I remember I would talk to him often on the phone. And one day I woke up. It was like a Sunday. And I said, oh, tomorrow morning I'll just look on the Internet. He's a youngster. You know, we were both young. I said, maybe something happened. And I thought maybe, you know, how they have those police blotter things where it'll tell you who's been arrested and this and that. I said, well, maybe something happened. You never know. And I go to Google him on the Internet. I just put his name in right before going to work that Monday morning. I said, let me just Google him and see. Maybe, you know, he got into some trouble. And boy, oh boy, his obituary popped up. So you can only imagine. I went from just, you know, at the worst thinking he was behind bars or something. Not that he had a reputation at all for that kind of thing, but I just didn't know what else to think. But when I saw an obituary pop up, because remember, there was some time had elapsed since I hadn't heard from him, and by the time that I decided to Google, and that's exactly what happened. And that's how I found out. No one called me. I literally figured it out on my own. And what's really bizarre, I was working exactly right where I still live here in Brooklyn, one block over from my house, which is where I am right now. And I was down the street, and I was an instructor at the time at the company. And I remember sitting at my desk, and I was so swelled with emotion. And it just so happens that my desk was behind everybody, so nobody else could see what my emotions were at the time, but it was really devastating. I was devastated. I'm still reeling from his loss because he was so very big in my life, and his daughter and his kids are people with whom I still keep in touch with. But it was really kind of a crazy, crazy thing. So I never have forgotten that. So friendship has been something that I take very seriously. And I don't think, and, you know, not that you don't, you can't be friendly with folks, but I take it to heart. When I call you a friend, you're a friend. You're a friend. When I call you a friend. And that has been somebody whom I can rely on. And I'm the kind of person that I'm not one who always asks for things. Like, you know how friends, sometimes if you need money or a friend of might need money, you got to lend them money and stuff, or they need this and need that. I'm a person who's very self-reliant. But if I ask you for something, you best believe I need it. You better find a way to get it to me, because that's when I'm serious. That's the truth.
Me too.
When I ask you, that means I have no other choice.
Right.
Because I'm not the person that will just willy-nilly, ask you to do things for me. That's not how I roll, as the kids say. Well, listen, I am so excited today, and we've got a lot of good things to talk about. Now, did you guys have any more you wanted to talk about that? But that, let me just say that was several years back. I still live here, and that emotion is still very raw. It was a very dear friend of mine. We went through a lot together, growing up and stuff. So, and again, I'm one of several folks but I think the longer you live, the more that you, your bucket, your friend bucket grow or shrink. But the most important thing is that you always have these friendships in your heart, and if they have gone on and all that wonderful good stuff. So really good things. I speak very highly. I love his grandkids. His family, they consider me probably the uncle in the attic type thing. No, they love me to death, and I appreciate them so very much. So good stuff. Now, hey, want to say, remind everybody, coming up in just a few minutes, this gentleman, again, speaking of friends, and, I grew up pretty much early on with this gentleman, and I just have to say I'm impressed. He is a hair industry superstar, a legend in the hair business already at his age, and I'm just so grateful that he's going to join us in a few minutes on the show live. And he had to get up early again. He's out in California, and so we got a lot to talk about. I'm talking about Mr. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Inc. You guys know him, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. And we're real happy to have him right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show coming up. So Harlem Willpower, you guys, we're going to be doing some big, big things. Are you looking forward to our wonderful Road to Healthy Hair workshop in August?
Oh, absolutely. I want some more tips on what to do with my hair. I was looking up some hairstyles of what I wanted to do, but I was like, wait a minute, I want to also make sure my hair is looking nice and fresh and rejuvenated and dripping with youth. I want to make sure it's looking nice, and the Kerry beard, the beard oil by Kerry Hines is definitely going to help with that big time. So
yes,
the Kerry that he delivers, I'm really excited about this.
Me too, I really am. And Miss Terry, I hope that you can consider getting up here from Georgia to join us. You are a hairstylist, and we are going to just have so many wonderful things for folks who are in the business, who are in the hair industry, and also for those who are not. This is not just for hair folks. Let me just put that on out there. We're going to have a series of different workshops, things like that. We're also going to have a lot of vending, so you can go shopping and pick up some hair items and things of that nature, and it's outside for the most part. So when you talk about safety, that is a number one concern for everybody these days. We're real excited about that, and we'll have some measures in place, and we'll put more of that on our website at hairnationexpo.biz, because it's a Hair Nation Expo event, even though it's called Road to Healthy Hair Workshop. So I can't wait, and we're going to be doing a lot more of the hair and beauty talk right here on the show. And what do you say about that, Miss Terry? You are a stylist. Are you guys celebrating anything this week? Are you celebrating some of these wonderful holidays that we're going to talk about?
Yes, absolutely. We have National Hairstylist Appreciation Day that is coming up on Saturday, April 30th.
Oh, I think it's the
I think it's Friday. Friday's the 30th.
Is it Friday?
Yeah, Friday's the 30th. But you're doing well, though. That is Hairstylist Day, right?
Is it?
It is the 30th.
Yeah.
What, Friday?
Yeah,
Friday is the 30th?
Yes, Friday's
okay.
The 30th, so you would have missed the celebration.
Right. No, because I'm celebrating the whole month because I'm a hairstylist,
okay,
and I'm going to celebrate
okay.
the whole month. So I'm not
you'll be
miss
celebrating
it.
In May. That's
but
right.
I
May
don't
starts.
I don't want you guys to miss it either. So Friday, April 30th, is going to be
exactly.
National Hairstylist Day. So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's just a great time to give your much-deserved love, show your love for your favorite hairstylist. If you know anything about hairstyling, we definitely do so much more than hair. We're psychiatrists. We have to, and once you'll be surprised once you start to rub on people's head the things that they tell you.
Oh, yes, this
we
is
are
true.
So much more than hairstylists. I mean, we have to always come in with an open mind and a listening ear because someone always has something they have to tell you, and a lot of times some of those things are so heavy. So go out and show love for your much-deserved hairstylist, your favorite hairstylist, for National Hairstylist Appreciation Day, Friday, April 30th. So there you
yes.
go, folks.
And don't forget, the entire month of May, all May at the Hair Radio Morning Show, we are celebrating what we call BHM, which stands for Black Hair Month. Black Hair Month. May is Black Hair Month. And so what we're looking at is the contribution of folks of color to the world of hair and beauty. So this is something that we're going to highlight with folks like the amazing Mr. Troy Ballard and, you know, and have everybody kind of share their hair story, if you will. I think this is the kind of thing that really we want to really promote and push, whether you're on the cosmetology side or the natural hair side, wherever you are, whether you're a product or whatever. We want to make sure that our contribution, our dollars that we are spending in this community, for hair care, and we're talking about multi-billions at this point has been reported. So we want to make sure that we are always advocating for this industry, and I think celebrating each May is a way to do that. So I'm real excited about that. Okay, well, coming up in just a few minutes, we've got the one and only Smooth Black live from Cali, Fornaye. So we're real excited. They don't even say that anymore. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and get on a quick song or so. This is Back to My Roots by, of course, you know my favorite, RuPaul. And then we will have, we'll be on shortly with Smooth Black, and we want you to stay with us. And thanks so much. Okay, and also want to just thank my wonderful co-stars, Harlem Will Powers from, of course, right here in New York City. And Miss Terry down in Georgia. Thank you, guys. Great. Great to have you with us.
Absolutely.
We're here till 9 this morning, Eastern Time. All right, here's RuPaul. Stay with us.
This is a special shot going out to my mama, Miss Ernestine Shaw. Mama used to do people hair in the kitchen. Press and curl, hot curlers, everything. Respect.
We carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
It's Smooth Black Ink, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. He's a superstar hairstylist with decades of experience. He's a hair industry icon with the Midas touch for styling, cutting, and all aspects of hair care. He's also a prominent educator who can electrify your workshop attendees at your hair events. Look out for Smooth Black Hair Care, products, and the amazing Troy Ballard across social media at Hair Radio.
And I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the year of the woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Terry Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all ready to be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Gary Hines. Now, I have to tell you, we have a lot of guests right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And quite often they're here, and yes, we have some who are very celebrated. None other than my very next guest who comes to us from California. So 3,000 miles away, you guys know I'm right here in Brooklyn, New York. His name is Troy Ballard, and he, as you've just heard on some of those announcements, he's done so much. And we are so excited to have him here with us. And I'm just going to go ahead and bring him to the line. The amazing Mr. Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black. Welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing, sir?
Doing just great. Well, listen, my co-stars are going to join us in just a little bit. First, I wanted to take a moment and, again, welcome you back to the show and kind of jump right on in. It's been a while since you've been with us live on the air. So this is, one of the reasons it's so early out there. The show, our show is on from 6 to 9 in the morning Eastern time. So that's like 3 o'clock in the morning your time. So how are you doing these days out in California?
Well, all is well, Gary. You know, God has been good to me. I can't complain. You know, I learned to take it one day at a time. You know, and thank you for having me on your show again. You know, it's a remarkable thing that you are an avenue, a venue that we can hear and learn, you know, and putting events on where we can get education, you know. And it's all about education, 2021, 2022, knowledge is power. It's time to get it, you know.
Well, that's what I'm loving. And speaking of education, one of the things that kind of jumps out about me, I'm sorry, about you, and for me right now is that, like you said, education is huge. And you are somebody who leads workshops. You can help folks who are just starting their careers in the hair and beauty industry to really, you know, you could start them on how to carve a niche for themselves and get on the right path to success. So how does that make you feel to know that you're, you know, that you have that talent, Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black?
Oh, you know, first of all, Kerry, you know, I thank God he gave me a humble spirit, you know, a humble heart. You know, I just like to see things get done. You never have to lift me up. You know, I just give all my praise and honor to, you know, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But, you know, I got almost 30 years in this game now. I'm approaching 30 years. Oh, man, and that's like, ooh.
Wow.
You know, so
how does that make you feel 30 years in?
Okay, you know, I've seen a lot, I've done a lot, you know, so I can pretty much do, when it comes to total hair care, you know, cut, curl, color, install weaves, everything, but, you know, I like to promote healthy hair, so that's why I love your show that's coming up in August, you know.
Yes.
So if you take care of the hair, hair will take care of you. I tell people all the time, because, you know, I've raised 7 children behind this chair, put a couple through college. My daughter, she just graduated from, she's a nurse, and she's getting ready to go into the Navy to become an officer. So, you know, the hair industry, Kerry, for the people, you know, you got to love what you do, Kerry.
That's right.
You know, I love my job, well, my career, you know, my life. It's all about hair. You know, so when I get up every morning, I thank God for an opportunity that I can go in and be a blessing to someone, you know. And, you know, when we can empower people in their presentation to give them their best look, you know, and hair is everything, you know. So it's just
absolutely
one aspect of life.
Now, what started you on your path? I know these questions, the answers to these questions, but I want to bring our listeners on in. What really started you on the path to a career in hair?
Well, you know, Kerry, is ironic, you know, because I was an athlete in high school. I had 6 varsity letters. I walked off a starting position in college and pursued the United States Army.
Well, hold on, Lenny. Troy Ballard, hold on. Let me just jump in and say this. Let me first officially tell everybody, this is not just some random guest that, you know, pops in and we just say nice things. When I tell you that he is somebody I literally knew when he was in high school, and Troy Ballard was a true football, you were a football star to me, and coming from someone who was very learned and a bookworm, as you guys can imagine, I haven't veered off far from that even today, but you were somebody, and I looked, even though I'm just slightly older than you are, we won't say how much,
okay,
but just slightly. But I'll tell you, I looked up to you in so many ways.
Wow.
At that time, I looked up to you. I still do, of course. That goes without saying. But at that time, because you embodied all of this, I've never seen anybody who was so popular. I mean, I dreamt of being that popular in high school. You had all the cool friends, all these beautiful girls would come by the house, and I was just blown away. And you were I've never known of anybody like that. So I take my hat off to you. You were a football star to me. You were incredibly popular, and so I don't want to just gloss over that. And look what you've been able to do with your life. You're so positive. You're a big part of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We wouldn't be here doing this show had it not been all the support and help that you have extended to us over the years. So I am just grateful to you. So I just wanted to get that on out. So I can gush on you all day. So I better just stop, because that's really the truth.
Bless me, but thank you, Karen.
Okay.
But, you know,
and then,
you know,
so tell us more.
No, you know, I went into the Army and they cut my hair. I didn't like the way they cut it. So I started cutting my own hair. And from then I started cutting other soldiers' hair. And then I'm tell this story. I'm gonna be honest. My first wife, she was a model out of Louisiana, and going to beauty college. So it was interesting. Mm-hmm. By the time I'm cutting soldiers' hair, you know, at lunchtime and in break room, you know, go and make me a quick $40-$50. You know, I was like, wow, I can do this just on the side, making a little extra money. And I always was intrigued about when my wife at the time, she was already doing installs and weaves and high fashion makeup and everything. So, you know, I was like, okay, maybe I'll learn about it. But just, I didn't, we separated. But life went on, you know, seemed like every female I met had something to do with hair until I met this one female. And it was crazy because she would spoil me. You know, when we go out, she'd take care of everything. But I noticed when she opened up that billfold, it was like 50s, 100s. I'm like, what you do for a living? I'm a hairstylist. She said, what? I was like, well, I own a salon too. I'm like, oh, really? And then, you know, I was like, you made that, what, today? I was like, that's 2 weeks' work. That's my 2-week paycheck, you know? And I'm like, okay. Uh-huh. The money drew me too, you know, not only
at first,
you know, the
at
amount first. Of money that we can create, you know, in this
right,
industry
right.
is great
right.
as a stylist, you know, God has blessed me to be able to, you know, live comfortably caring and take care of my family, behind the chair, you know, so
that's
anybody,
right.
you know, I, my thing is I want to share with people, you know, my gift. You know, knowledge is power. And they said, you know, I can't take it with me. And, you know, and God has truly blessed
exactly.
me I want to be able to articulate how to cut. You know, anybody can cut. But, you know, if you get your cut right, you get your color right, you're going to get your money right. So these are all the aspects. But generally, if you learn how to get that hair healthy and keep that hair on the head, even if they want to go to high level lifts in color, you know, using that aniline derivative, using peroxide, using bleaches and, you know, toners and everything that, you know, to create that look for that individual. And, you know, it's remarkable because, you know, my clientele, I love them because, you know, I'm looking at them as, you know, they're the ones that enable me to buy what I buy and live what I live. And drive what I drive, you know, because without a clientele, you're nothing. You know, there's a lot of stylists out here that have a license, you know, and these are things I want to share because being a salon owner for over 20 years and then closing my salon and, you know, doing the economics, you know, and I'm sad to say as a salon owner, you know, you're looking for a staff or a team of individuals to come together and love doing hair. And not for the stylist to look at because that person's the owner of the salon, I'm making them money, but to be able to take advantage of where you're working at, whether you're leasing a booth or your booth rental, you know, because the laws have changed so much out here. And, you know, most people independent contractors, but, you know, learning how to, you know, find you a good tax person, you know, pay your taxes, you know. And, you know, nowadays to go buy a home, you know, I'm getting ready to purchase my third home, Carrie. And
amazing.
You know, but it's just getting, you know, everything. You know, and I thank God I use my VA benefits. So, you know, that's another plus that I thank God that, you know, that was there for me, that doors are opening. But in everything, keeping your credit together, but being able to establish yourself as an entity, a business within yourself, whether you're working in someone's salon. I work at Luxury Hair and Extension Salon in Fontana, California. That's the address. But my business is within that business, you know, so I have Smooth Black Ink in there, and, you know, I lease that space out. And you know, when you get into leasing spaces, like, man, you got to take every opportunity that you can to try to create your income from that, whether you're retailing products to your clients, is so many other things. You know, nowadays as a stylist, you know, I can sell them insurance, anything. You know, there's a lot of things we can do to create extra streams of income. So, you know,
that's
at this
right.
point, I've been styling care. You know, I've been an educator for companies, you know, and I've taught their product and, you know, learned it, mastered it, and then be able to go and show other stylists how to use it daily in their operations. But everything that I do is technical, but it's a gift. But the end result is a healthy, vibrant, health creative cut, color that's going to go out and attract other people. And my clients build my clientele. You know, iron sharpens iron, but sheep begat sheep. So when they leave my chair, I want to give them something that is going to be a conversation piece. You know, I'm an extreme stylist, and a lot of other stylists like, well, Troy, how do you get your clients to let you do all that? You know, I said, well, you have to build their trust. You know, and
that's right.
You know, when I first started, I'd get a magazine. They show me what they want. I turn the magazine upside down in the chair, and I try to emulate that picture. Every detail of it, if they went, but then I got to know, was that hair, is it long layers, is it increased layers, is it a bob, is it, you know, is it a short bob, you know, but how to create that look and have to get the cut, you know, so you get that cut right, man, and you learn how to manipulate the curling irons, rather using ceramic tile or, me, I love the Marshall irons, I still use direct heat,
okay.
You know, I love it, you know, so it's an art, you know, and we got a lot of cosmetological entrepreneurs out there that's hunger and thirst after righteousness, but this hair business, man, I love it. That's all I can.
It is a business. Smooth Black Ink. Well, listen, I'm going to jump right on in, and if you're just kind of tuning on in with us today, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I am thrilled to have Mr. Troy Ballard on with us live. You guys know him as Smooth Black. He's on live from California. It's early out there this morning. And I want to take a moment to bring on in my wonderful co-stars here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. There are two individuals joining us. Miss Terry, she's out of Georgia, out of the Atlanta area down in Georgia. And also, Harlem Will is right here. Harlem Will Power is right here in New York. He's over in Harlem, of course. But welcome back to the show, Miss Terry Harlem Will. You're on with Smooth Black and Carrie. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, good morning,
good morning,
guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Smooth.
How you doing? Good.
Well, listen, I want
nice to meet you.
Yes. I want to lead on in with Miss Terry. I know that you have some questions. You are a hairstylist. So how does it feel, Miss Terry, to have on the great Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard, with us this morning? And have you been listening?
It's awesome. Awesome. Absolutely. I was listening to his to everything he said. I mean, it definitely is a great business to be in. And exactly like he said, you definitely have to learn people's trust in order to, you know, allow them to do or try different things on your hair. And so, Mr. Ballard, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What barber and or stylist do you or have you looked up to during your career as a stylist / barber, and why?
Well,
good question. I know the answer to that, I believe, Troy.
Well, see, from the genesis beginning, you know, once I got out and got my license and I'm looking at who's who and who does what, you know, because it was important for me because I wanted to learn. I was hungry, and I had a need to be around other stylists in my city that I knew had a clientele built already. They were already creative hairstylists that they're doing stuff unique that nobody else is doing, and they have a clientele that didn't quit. So I needed to be around people who were doing hair. I wasn't going to my cousin's salon just because it was my cousin or my sister. I was going to somewhere that I felt that was reputable. So when I went in, the first salon was Talk of the Town. And the owner was he called him the Brother of Peace, Maurice. And he wanted to be a radio disc jockey. And he'd say, Talk of the Town. And when he answered the phone. He was a barber. He used to arch ladies' eyebrows with his straight razor. His technique was phenomenal, you know. And then, you know, this salon had 23 operators. In that salon, there was Wyteria Arrington, God bless her soul, so many Wanda Patterson. It was so many in there that I learned from. But the ones that I was really paying attention to were the ones that were in the magazines at that time. So I was looking at Mr. Little, Carl Reed, Little Willie,
yeah,
out of Detroit, Bad Boy. And I'm looking at all, and these are men stylists. So I was looking at the men aspect of it. But when I went into the salon, I learned a thing and different techniques from women. So I always challenge the stylist is if you come, you do a look and learn, you can always come and watch me. I have no problems if someone coming in town and say, Troy, can I come and glean off you? You know, and I, you know, and they come and they'll sit and observe, and I try to teach them as I'm, you know, if my client don't mind, I'm always get permission because the things that I'm doing now and preparing myself for the future, especially with the social media, is I'm going to start going a lot live and just basically having a little dialogue, but, you know, giving the audience something creative in my techniques than what I do. But for those people that I named to you, those are giants in the game at the time. And, you know, and I've seen them just endure because, you know, I've seen a lot of stylists that come into the game and they can't maintain. They'll end up going to get another job. And I always tell them like this, job stands for just over broke. So I'm trying to get me a career where I can, you know, create as much money as I can for Smooth Black Ink, you know, for my business and build something
right.
for
That's
my family.
Right.
So just structuring there. But, you know, for those, I love those giants, you know, and they really paved the way for me, you know. And even today,
yeah.
you know, if I was to
yeah.
name some people that I still love, there's a lot of women out there that are doing it and they're educating and they're empowering and they're motivating, and that's what we need, you know. And, you know, but always was one that was humble. You know, I like the background. I don't never want to be out front, you know. As long as this job is getting done, my name doesn't have to be on the venue, you know. So I thank God, you know, he's always kept me humble. But people will come and tell me, you're this, you're that, you're that. I'll tell you what, that, you know, God is good. That's all I know. And but those
well,
are the people that
you mentioned Carl Reed. You mentioned Carl Reed.
Yeah.
Carl Reed also has been a big supporter. I have to shout him out. He's been a big part of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I've got many
hours
with Carl
now,
Reed on. Yeah, he is. He has some great songs. He really, and I love that he has, he, you know, getting older, he didn't let that get in the way of his dream of singing. And so, yeah, so when you, and I'm going to get on one of Carl's interviews because Carl, he goes in as well when you're talking. So I'll get that on for you guys. Maybe one day next week I'll put together a big thing of his work with us. I think you guys are going to love it. Like, you know, superstar Mr. Troy Ballard, they've been out there leading the charge with, you know, healthy hair care. And we're so excited. And it's great to have you with us. Now, before we move on, I know that Harlem Will has a question, I'm sure. Chomping at the bit that Harlem Will, who is not a hairstylist, although he does represent the Caribbean brand. Harlem Will, what's your question for Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard, today on the show?
Hey, Mr. Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black. I think I'm just going to call you Smooth Black.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
it just rolls off the tongue a lot better. So, Mr. Smooth Black.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. What is your feeling? How do you? Because I saw your pictures. Other than being immaculately dressed, I love the 3-piece suits that you wear.
Is he not the cleanest guy? What? Yes.
Yeah. The sharpest, the coldest dressing barber I've ever seen, and I love my barber.
Yes.
But yeah, the coldest dressed barber I've ever seen, and
yes,
the beard is all, you know, is representative of the beard that we all strive to have, and you know, is strong out there, but I've noticed there's this trend out there of the toupee beard now that's also coming in with the weed phase now. And I wanted to ask from somebody who's organically created these masterpieces like the high fade, the mid fade, the taper and everything. How do you feel about the toupee fades and the toupee beards now that's coming in to the game to help guys out with the facial hair issues that they, or the hair issues in general that they have?
Well, you know, it's interesting because right now I'm in makeup school. I'm learning how to do, you know, I want to be a professional makeup artist. And I'm learning where there's a need. See, some people need to, you know, make them feel better, you know, and they need that niche. They need that change. And if you are able to, you know, I always tell people stay in your lane because we call it the man weave out here. And, you know, and it's like, okay, you know. So, but, you know, there's a market for it. I know several people in my city who are doing it, and they do it very well. But, you know, it's all going to come together because you think about it, the hair industry and looking at Hollywood. So everything that's been in Hollywood for years is really coming out and going into where the salons and people are coming in and getting those services. So just like anything else, becoming a great makeup artist, you take a canvas and you begin to paint on it, you know, and when you come out, it wants to be flawless. So that's just like, you know, with the beards and everything, if it's going to enhance that person's and make them feel better about themselves, I'm all for it, you know. And you know, we're in the beauty business, you know. It's not the ugly business. So, you know, whatever I can do to make my client, you know.
True, it is the beauty business. I love that.
It ain't the ugly business. I like that.
Well, listen, I am just.
One more quick question.
Yeah.
One more quick question.
You got a follow up. Okay, I'm gonna carry you go ahead. Harlem Will.
I'm gonna make it real fast and make it real quick. Of all the, because I know you're a barber. Of your favorite, of all the
and hairstyle. Let me just say, Troy.
Hold on.
You know,
let me tell
hairstyle
you. Hairstyle
is extraordinary.
Now they say, well, I'm a licensed cosmetological entrepreneur. I'm a licensed cosmetologist. You know, but I happen to know how to barber at the same time. Yes,
right.
Sir.
Yes.
My apologies, because I know.
No problem. Let me share this with you. I challenge barbers to go into doing women hair because the amount of money, there's a difference in the ticket when they sit in my chair. So you have a great barber, you know. And right now, the average haircut in California, depending on the yard, you know, 25 and up, you know. But for me, when I groom men, I get $50 to $75 to $100 for my haircut. That's because I only have a handful of men that I'm grooming, the ones who can afford my services and let me, you know. But for the majority, women have taken care of me for the last 28 years.
Wow.
That
love it.
Without doing anything other than hair, you know.
Awesome.
So the question was, who's somebody who's experienced with barber, as a barber, and you do that. What has been your top cut, the top cut for men that you've been giving out? I guess is it the taper? Is it the mid fade? Is it
it depends on the individuals, you know, because everybody that's sitting in your chair going to have a different head shape, hair texture, everything, you know, so you got to learn how to cut a ball fade, a taper, you know, so it's just learning techniques, and that's the stylist, right? When that individual is in the whoever barber's chair, that barber's skills want to be impeccable, so if someone sits in my chair and says, well, I want a ball fade, and, you know, how high, you know, I want a high and tight military cut, you know, it's just learning that, you know, whatever you ask or you show me in a magazine, that's the look I want as a stylist or the barber, you should be able to create that look. But what I always try to get to the point is that, you know, when you are who you are, they sit in my chair now and they allow me to express me from the total relaxer. All I need to know what color you want. You know, when was your last relaxer retouch? If you keep a client profile, you should know. But when you build a rapport with your clients that they're relying on you and you got them coming every week for that service, you know. So that's what I love. I got women bring me money, you know. And I added up real quick, Carrie, if I got one client who brings me $260 a month, then that's visiting me every week. So that's four styles, $260, right? That's at the low.
Correct.
But you have 30 women bring you that same money. You have 40 women giving you that same money. You know,
is it too late for me to become a stylist? Am I too old to become a hairstylist?
I hope I answered your question, my brother, because all I want to do is be able to let people know as a barber, man, you got to learn everything, and you got to stay on top of your game. You know, I want my people, when I come to work, my people were there waiting for me. So they know I'm finna be busy. You know, as a barber, you know, it's like, well, get in where you fit in, take a number. But now they got style seat. You can book and you can come. But we're learning as, you know, because me, I get paid by the service, not by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get as many services in that day as I can. So basically, as an individual, I can create a revenue. I know how much money that I'm going to make by how I schedule my appointments.
Troy Ballard, let me just say this. And to all the listeners, thank you. Good feedback, Harlemo, as well. Let me just say this to you and to all of our listeners. Something that we didn't share till now is that you're going to be with us each Wednesday at about 8:30 in the morning Eastern time. So you got to start getting out early every week now because we're going to be listening and looking out. This conversation is just getting started. You've got a podcast that we'll be sharing across 9 or 10 platforms in addition to catching this live version each week right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So about 8:30 on Wednesdays, we look forward to continuing this conversation with the one and only Smooth Black, a.k.a. Troy Ballard. So listen, this has been wonderful. And Miss Terry, I thank you. It was just awesome having you aboard with us. Harlem Will, great things, guys. And for me, this has been just huge to have you on. It's always a pleasure, as you know. And hi to everybody in the whole family. Always, always a pleasure to talk to you. So good stuff. And what can I say? Let me just get this in real quick. What do you look to bring to the listeners each week with your podcast, Troy Bell?
Well, you know, I'm at the point in my life, you know, there was a joy in my heart the other day when I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. You know, I've been called by God. I'm an ordained elder in the Church of God in Christ. And, you know, I went through some things. I got a divorce. I sat myself down, and I haven't been behind a pulpit teaching God's word in a minute. But I still share the love of God every day where I go, you know. But, you know, I learned the Bible. It said, how can a man rule over another man's house and his house is not in order? So at the time that I was going through my divorce, I said, okay, I'm not going to be up here in front of God's people, although I know he died for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. But I wanted to be right. So I'm at the place in my life where God has blessed me. I'm on track. Things are happening. It's really a place in my life where I'm comfortable enough to where I'm going to stop being silent, and I need to share what God has put in my heart. So
listen,
a lot of it is to motivate and inspire and encourage somebody in these times
we're going
that we're
to. We're going to park it there. Troy Ballard, thanks for being with us. Smooth Black, please look him up on Facebook and Through Hair Radio, of course, and listen out and tune in next Wednesday for a continuation of this conversation with Smooth Black. And catch us tomorrow as we return with a new episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines with my amazing team. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll go ahead and get our outro started. Thanks again, Smooth Black. Great job.
Thank you. Hey, I look forward to meeting everybody in August, you know.
All right. Yes, we're going to have a great time. All right, folks. Thanks so much. Here's the outro. It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. Being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021. That's three big days. Now, the hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tickets are on sale now at eventbrite.com. The event is for everyone. You don't have to be
a hair or beauty professional to come to our show. Let us know if you'd like to be a vendor. Call us. Call our office at 862-277-0686. And again, that number is 862-277-0686. Now, if you're interested in being a guest or advertising on the Hair Radio Morning Show, give us a call. And for those of you who are just starting your career as an entrepreneur, you want to pick up your very own copy of How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. It's by me, Carrie Hines, and is on sale at Amazon.com. Start your new career as a Caribbean hair products distributor, where you'll make money and meet interesting folks selling our hair care system. Caribbean shampoo, Caribbean conditioner for the fellas is Caribbean beard oil. It's my very own hair growth system that's infused with caffeine to stimulate the scalp. And don't forget to tune in to our very next live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our program airs each weekday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. That's 5 to 8 Central. And if you miss that live broadcast, we've got you covered. Go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio. And again, Hair Radio is always spelled just one R in the middle. So again, go to blogtalkradio.com/hairradio anytime to stream the episode on demand. The Hair Radio Morning Show is the longest running radio broadcast on hair and beauty in the world. 25 years and counting. Don't forget to follow us on our Facebook page at The Hair Radio Morning Show or at Twitter at Hair Radio and Instagram at Hines Carey. Again, thank you so much for joining us in today's broadcast. Enjoy the rest of your day and remember, what was possible for you yesterday is still possible for you today. It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Hi, I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.